Oh, boys and girls, this was not a good one. This was not a good one. So let me just say, everybody just nod your head like this. The Sharks would fall 4-3 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers tonight. We're going to talk about Brent Burns, just a coach tonight. Let me tell you a little something about that. But first, welcome into Teal Town USA After Dark, your only pre-post intermission. We do everything here, but we always do a post-game show after every single Sharks game, live and interactive on YouTube for the fans, by the fans. And here we go. We're going to head over to that beautiful little graphic because there's multiple ways to interact with us. Chat with us in that YouTube chat. You can hit us up on Twitter using the hashtag TealTownUSA. Do us a favor. Follow us on TealTownUSA. All the social media channels, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, SoundCloud, all of them, TealTownUSA. So with that, we start off. I'm AJ underscore strong. We have with us tonight, Eric Kura.
So, is it a thing that we used to give up first goals to everyone? Is it us to give, like, first wins to new head coaches, too?
New head coach? We're talking about Hitchcock, and you're talking new head
coach? New in their new city, you know? I think, didn't we play, like, Boston's new coach, like, the other year or two and let them walk all over us like a rented mule?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Also with me tonight, Al Martinet.
Hey, rough show, but yeah, really rough, actually. Not going to sugarcoat it.
Oh, it started off so good. 45 seconds in, yep. Donskoy, you know, Pavelski wins the circle. Burns slams it towards the net, and Donskoy would clean up the garbage in front of the crease, 5 feet from the paint. Donskoy's fifth, Pavelski's fourth assist, Burns' 20th assist. Hello. And everything would seem to go downhill from there. But a couple of things of note that we do have to talk about before we dive deep into this first period and into this game. I don't know. I want to say, like, maybe what, 14 hours ago, the Edmonton Oilers had a different head coach. But Todd McClellan was shown the Spanish Archer elbow. He was given the heave-ho. And so far, Todd McClellan has been fired twice in San Jose by two different teams. So you can hang your hat on that one. Dylan Gambrell gets sent down to the Barracuda. Lucas Rodile. No, it's just not the same.
But it's just anyway, a Rodile.
Yeah, pretty much, because, you know, he's just going to be hanging out in the press box, you know, getting people hot dogs and stuff. The Ryan trade seems to have worked out, you know, Strom for Spooner. So that's what happened with Edmonton. But 45 seconds in, Donskoy puts Team Teal on the board. Everybody's thinking, like, okay, you know, we're facing a team that's lost six of their last seven. They've clearly had a coaching switch up. This is one of those ones that you go, yeah, you write that one down on paper. Like, yeah, we should have this, but clearly this turned out to be a trap game about, 7.5 minutes later when McDavid, and here's where we get into the Burns problem. McDavid would score his 13th. Yoki Ryan gets burned twice on this. I think Burns made like three bad plays during this whole entire sequence. Draisaitl with the 12th assist, Larson with his 8th, the 100th goal for McDavid. Eric, how many Sharks got caught watching on this goal?
It seems like everybody, including the fans at the tank, because three guys up above the faceoff circle, including Burnsy, and McDavid slides right in, bangs one home. Boom. I don't even think it stayed in the net that long. I think even Randy Hahn thought that it didn't even go in, that Jones had made the save originally. Made it 1-1, and I'm like, oh, God, that wasn't pretty.
Funny you should say that, because Randy blew the call on both of the, or at least the first two Edmonton goals. He called, you know, like, oh, there's a shot. Oh, it's in. And it sounded as if I guess whoever was doing the graphics for the Jumbotron got demoted to turn on the light behind the nets for this game after misspelling Eric with a C. And so he continues to not have a good time because both of the first two Edmonton goals, the light did not go on behind the net. So that threw Randy and the broadcast crew off, as it would. But you would think a minute and a half later, Al, Sorensen gets his fourth on a roof job with a sweet pass from Jumbo. Looked like the Sharks were on the power play back in the day, tying Mario Lemieux for 11th all-time in assists. Thornton gets his third, LeBanc with his 10th. I mean, that's a beautiful roof job by Sorensen, Al.
Amazing roof job, but also the pass was just on point, backhand, behind the net. Thornton had a lot of speed. I've been pleasantly surprised with his effort since he's come back. Also, I think this is probably one of his better games because he has hurdle to balance out the other lines, and I think that was kind of the depth issue for the forward lineup. But that's going to be interesting where Thorin lands when it's all said and done on the assist mark. I believe he's 13th.
He's 11th now, 11th. And he's 16 away from Gordie Howe, who sits at 9th currently.
But where is he? How far is he away from Adam Oates? Because I want to see Thornton disrespect the game.
You know, NHL top 100, right?
Right. Yes.
100.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think this is his last season, but if definitely with the Sharks is definitely his last season. I don't see him playing with any other team just because of his injury issue.
Yeah. I give you that. Friend of the show, Gen X, saying that the weight of Jumbo's beard was limiting his knee rehab. I would agree with that.
And he recently shaved this morning. So he was nice and as fresh cut as Jumbo can be. I mean, that thing grows like in 3 hours.
One of those knees must have felt a little heavy this morning. So, you know, had to whip out the Bic and just go to town. little over a minute after Sorensen scores Klefbom with Slash Goodrow, the power play for the Sharks actually looked really good. They weren't able to pot one, but man, did they get some looks. And then, you know, last 5 minutes of the period, not a whole lot going on. I will say that for the most part, you can look back at the numbers. I mean, San Jose owned the faceoff circle in the first period, 75% shots on goal, 10-6. But the other nice thing about this one, Pavelski, perfecto, 100% in the circle, winning going 8-0 in the circle. And with 14 seconds left in the period, Cassian would hook hurdle to put the Sharks on the power play and give them a minute 45 to start the second. And that would suck.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, you know, I have to go back and look. Did Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, was that a shorty officially?
Yes. They originally said it was, but according to the stat sheet, of course, from the trusted source, NHL.com, they're showing it's not.
Yes, that's what I'm seeing as well, is that the Oilers went 0. Yeah, they went 0 for 1. But so we'll call this one a power or, you know, a influenced goal. It's not a technical shorthanded goal from RNH, but this was the second time that Brent Burns would get burned yet again. Just a horrible 2-on-1. This is like literally the only time, Eric, that haven't seen Brent Burns employ the starfish defensive posture during a 2-on-1.
He's learning, right? Right?
I mean, the starfish is what got him the Norris. So
There you go. No, seriously.
In fact, aren't they talking about renaming the trophy the Starfish Trophy instead of the Norris?
I thought it was going to be turnover for Erik Karlsson since he's a two-time winner.
Oh. So RNH would get that one. And again, I go back to the McDavid goal in the first was kind of a fluky one, and a lot of times you want to sit there and, oh, Jones, what are you doing? This was not a case where it was like, Jones, what are you doing? At least on the McDavid goal. On the RNH goal, the shorthanded one, you know, I don't know. Jones maybe gets a shot at that, but the thing is, both of those first two goals, the defense, particularly Burns and Ryan, just throwing Martin Jones to the wolves. It was pathetic. 7-23. What's his name? Caligula. What's his name? No,
Cajula.
I know, but I want to say welcome to Caligula. But Cajula would high stick Pavs, and that power play for the Sharks would last a whopping 10 seconds as Carlson would hook Kyra. And the reason why Carlson hooked Kyra on that is because it was yet another shorthanded opportunity given to Edmonton. You had to take that play and hook him at that point. So there's the abbreviated power play, 10 seconds for the Sharks, and everything was fine. Sharks killed it. But then at 1905, Couture getting his seventh on an absolute roof job from Hurdle, filthy versus Larson. Eric, that the Couture, I don't want to say Couture pulled like some Hurdle filth, like Hurdle pulled against it was opening night of Anaheim.
Fowler?
Yes, yeah. It wasn't some Hurdle on Fowler filth, but it was pretty filthy.
Well, let's put it this way. I felt so dirty about it. I took a shower in the second intermission. It was filthy, and to do that to a guy who was traded for Taylor Hall is so disrespectful. But it was pretty. That was pretty, and I love the shot selection. You could have gone, you know, near side, top shelf. No, Logan goes far side, top shelf, similar to where Sorensen shot his goal in, and just beat him like a rented mule, as the Penguins old broadcaster would call it. But yeah, Logan, that was beautiful.
Are we not paying attention? Is nobody paying attention to the chat? We should probably do that. Okay, Gen X saying Kevra, I guess. I'm just going to go with that. we do have to go to the YouTube chat right now. And what does this say? Out on the wire, the stats say you're wrong. I guess he's replying to somebody else. I'm trying to keep up with what we, you know, with my pages, because, you know, because I do take notes, believe it or not. I do take notes, but
he does his homework.
Yeah, I do my homework, but I'm trying to pay attention. Somebody besides me, please do me a favor. Pay attention to the chat. So at the end of two, you're not feeling really bad. I mean, the Sharks are up 3-2 at that point. Now, here's something that I just want to discuss. And I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but we know friend of the show, Rhodey Brazil, and hopefully soon to be friend of the show, Curtis Brown, or maybe after what I'm about to say, never friend of the show, Curtis Brown. During the quote unquote Twitter mission, there was a little bit of Kool-Aid drinking, because it was brought up. The play of Burns and Ryan was brought up to them, and neither of them, more Curtis than Brody, but neither of them really seemed to want to talk about the play of Burns during those goals from McDavid and RNH. And it goes back to what we've heard from Drew Remenda, where there's sometimes that the guys who do the intermission shows or the guys who do the color or whatever, that they're very much the keg is three quarters full, not even half full, three quarters full, no matter what it looks like. And I love Brody and I love Curtis and whatnot, but that's the thing that I really respected about Drew Remenda, is he would call it like he saw it, and he would not pump the tires. That it did feel like kind of Curtis during that Twitter mission, it felt like he was pumping the tires a skosh.
I mean, you see it with Kurz now, since he moved from NPC to The Athletic. And his writing has been more critical of the organization and even Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you know what you're going into knowing it's a sponsored telecast of the team, because NBC doesn't want to lose the Sharks because they have the broadcast rights.
I don't know. I would prefer to see a little bit more honesty. But then again, you know, I'm sure Curtis Brown doesn't want to end up in Edmonton like Drew did. No, I'm kidding.
He would coach the junior Oilers. Is that what you're trying to get?
Yeah. After going 3-for-10 over the last three on the power play, the Sharks went 0-for-3 tonight. So that would, take the percentage up to a whopping 17%, but over the last five games, a whopping 15% because they're 3-of-19 into the third. A lot of kind of back and forth, nothing really happening except for, let's be honest, Edmonton controlling the play for most of it. And then welcome to Caligula. I want to say Caligula, but welcome to Caligula. He would tap one in after Braun doesn't break. Oh my God. McDavid gets his 17th assist. Draisaitl gets his 13th. Oh, I don't understand how Braun didn't break up that play, but Caligula gets a 7th. That would put us into overtime, Eric. After three periods, how pissed off are you? Especially when you look at the fact that the Sharks got three power play opportunities and put up a donut. I mean, that literally, that's one of those games, and you know how often that I bang the power play drum, but this is one of those games that you can go back and look at and go, three chances, if you just would have potted one of them, could have been the difference in the game. It's not like I bang on the power play drum as they go 0-for-3, but they lose by three goals. You know what I mean?
Right. The first one, the first power play opportunity, I thought looked pretty impressive.
It looked fantastic.
They just didn't score. The second one, well, it freaking lasted 10, 11 seconds, so we really can't comment too much on it except for hold the puck in the zone. And the third one, well, that was just meh. So it's, yeah, I completely agree with you on that. The power play should be better. It needs to get better. It's why I said what I said during Twitter Mission. You know, yes, they're 3-for-19. Okay, that's not bad at all. But it's had some lapses, especially the first time. So the chat going right. Rob Iman, when it's time for your change,
same to Giants, bro.
Love it.
Either way, it would end after 60 minutes, 3-3 tie. We go to overtime, and it did not take a lot of overtime, whereas 51 seconds in, fluky bounce, McDavid to Draisaitl. Draisaitl's 13th, McDavid's 18th assist. God, that seems low. But either way, that would be how this one would play out. The Sharks would pull a charity point, which I believe puts them 1 point above Calgary. So Sharks retain number one in the Pacific, despite having the lowest point total of any division winner. What are we showing here on the...
This is a tweet from Chester Chivo, our good friend. Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson sitting on the bench to start overtime while Vlasic is on the ice. And that was really... And I bring this up because, Chivo, thank you so much, of course, for enjoying this with us.
That's a pretty good tweet.
But it does beg the question, though. You had Couture, Pavelski, and Vlasic out there. And to me, I thought Vlasic had a meh of a game.
Well, hold on. Hold on. The opening fit, when you're telling me opening three, we're talking face-off at center ice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think right there, you just answered the question. I think if that face-off was in the offensive zone, it's going to be Burns, it's going to be Karlsson. Because it was in at center ice, he's going to put his defensive guy out there.
But with, I mean, outside Couture, who really isn't known for his speed, and I'm guessing Couture was out there to be going up right up against McDavid. Pavelski's there for the second, you know, in case if Couture gets kicked out of the circle. And like you said, the Vlasic's out there just in case they get a fast break for Edmonton.
Actually, Lance Fletcher in the chat, he hit the nail on the head. He said Vlasic was on the ice because McDavid was. Yeah. Just didn't go as planned.
Are you guys worried about Vlasic at all this season? It seems like he's having a downer year.
Nope.
He's much more inconsistent year than we've come to expect from him.
Yeah, but
I would give him a little bit.
Are you compiling numbers from the start of the season, or are you compiling numbers for that opinion over the last 10? Because
since the homestand.
Whew. Okay, since the home, because I mean that's been with Braun. Okay, I mean perhaps.
Because it feels like he's been fighting something. He's lost a little bit of his speed. And he just hasn't been able to get back on defense like he used to. And also the weird use of having on power play a couple of times in the homestand. Like, I don't know what's going on with that. That's more of a PDB issue. But it just seems like Vlasic is not the type of lockdown defender who can take on McDavid, who could take on someone who's on the first line.
At least
last 10 games, he hasn't been that.
Perhaps, but we are talking about Vlasic, who has, you know, like shut down top line guys like Crosby or whatever in the Olympics. So, yeah, but, you know, he might have lost a step. We're not sure. Perhaps the other thing, again, is, you know, starting off the Carlson. Okay, no, we want you with Braun. No, we want you with Dylan. There's a little bit of that. But I will say, yeah, it's been pretty consistent over the last 6-7 games where he's been with Braun. It would be nice to see skosh more consistency. But hey, didn't Vlasic get like his first NHL goal or his first goal this season, like last game?
I mean,
yes.
It was Toronto.
Oh, it was Toronto. Okay, there you go.
But he also scored 2 goals for Toronto on that game too, but I digress.
Okay, now here's something that I just want to jump into real quick. I have no problems whatsoever with a writer by the name of Kevin Kurz. I have no problems with him whatsoever. I think he's actually gotten dramatically better now that he's with the Athletic. But we did get into, it was nothing. There was no trolling. There was none of that. But we did kind of get into a little bit tonight where he tweeted out, "A talented team that consistently gives up the lead just screams lack of focus," which I totally agree with. Screams lack of focus and hard work. It's baffling because that's never been the case in the 3+ seasons that DeBoer has been here.
Hmm.
Now, hold on. We might have to expand how huge the chat is, because Gen X's ego is about to, like, his head is about to explode. But I took Gen X's comments from years ago into account, and I responded to Kurz saying, "Historically and statistically, haven't Peter DeBoer coached NHL teams had a solid first season and then slowly gotten worse and worse as time progressed? It seems as if that's what the numbers show." And Kurz's response was, "Yes, but his rosters have gotten progressively worse too." And of course, my response to that was, "I would agree with you, with the exception of this season. On paper, the 2018-19 Sharks have to be better than the 2015-2016 Sharks. That said, I haven't looked at what the 2016 team record was at after 22 games. Now, he says, "Well, I'm talking about Florida and New Jersey rosters." And I was like, "Okay, well, that's understood." But we talked about that on a cast when PDB got the Sharks gig. Based on history, his first season is great, and then after that, not so much. And somebody else posted some numbers. Would you like to hear this? After 22, this is fantastic. 15-16 season, the Sharks, 22 in, 13-9. 16-7. 12-9-1. 17-18, 12-8-2. This season, 11-7-4. This bears out, okay? This bears out what Gen X told us 4 years ago. I'm just saying. It's going to be fun. And you can sit there and say, or you can, you know, you can make some comparisons, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who will tell you that the 15-16 Sharks on paper are better than the 18-19 Sharks on paper, Eric.
Would you say that the 15-16 team might have overachieved? Because let's put it this way. They're on talented paper or just regular paper or paper mache.
Parchment.
You know, parchment, wax, whatever. I mean, this team that's assembled in San Jose, and when we had the chat with Randy Hahn prior to the season, on paper, this is the most talented team that we ever seen. That being said, there's a little movie called Miracle that I like to quote every now and then, and I say, gentlemen, you don't have enough talent to win on talent alone.
You know, like 2015-2016 season, all the top players got hot at the right time. Pavelski, you know, Couture, even Jones, most importantly Jones, got hot at the right time.
I think Roman Pollock.
That too. But this season, I think, has a higher ceiling compared to that team just because of the amount of depth. But this season will only go as far as Jones or whoever the goaltender is. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the bottom line. And I think, are we only including regular season or just playoffs?
Playoffs? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Because I think the 2016-2017 team had a lot more depth to it. They just got injury prone at the last 2 months of the season.
Perhaps. Perhaps. I might give you that.
We should have been in Edmonton that year.
I don't know. It's still the speed issue that I don't think that Wilson has all the way addressed, but let's get to the chat really quick. Beach Boys fan forever MLP. We need Patty and Tierney back. No. Why do some people think Curtis is the only voice of the Sharks? I appreciate his honesty sometimes, but there are others too. Name one. That's the other Gekko thing. I mean, yeah, there's Gekko. You've got Zeke and Mo on the Hockey Writers. You've got Shalana. You've got Marcus White. I mean, there are people out there, but I think the thing is, at least with Marcus and Shalana, is I love Shalana. She's been on the show many a time. But let's be honest, she has kind of taken the mantle from Kurz, and they are kind of on the company dime. So they can't, you know, they can't get too crazy on the critique, I would believe, because it's, you know, it's all under that umbrella. Whereas Kurz now with the Athletic is completely independent. And I appreciate that. Gen X saying, how many more coaches does Doug Wilson get? Well, I mean, we're on the third one now.
I take that back. So, it was a third.
Was Ron Wilson?
Ron Wilson wasn't his call. That was Marty.
So we are essentially on the second one then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then Gen X, three. I mean, you know, or unless Hasso just decide, well, okay, let's just not even go there.
if this team is ever going to rebuild, Wilson won't be there.
Well, they used the rebuild word the year before, you know, 14-15, where it was John Scott and we're going to protect these younger players. Well, I don't know how John Scott protects younger guys when he's watching them from the penalty box, but that's the way that would work out. But they tried the rebuild, and you do have to give Doug Wilson a ton of credit. They've got, I don't know how many more man games played from their draft picks than almost any other team. You have to give it to them for that. Now, maybe that's also from a lack of options, but either way, I used to be really upset with Doug Wilson. And once I learned a little bit more, I wasn't upset with Doug Wilson. I was upset with Tim Burke. and some of the draft strategies. Now, that's changed recently now that DW Jr. has taken the mantle. Let's give DW Jr. a couple seasons and see what he can put together. Back to the chat. Puck Mom saying, Kurz, in my opinion, has been anti-Sharks for the past couple of years. Still can't figure out if he likes any guys on the team. It's not Kurz's job to like any of these guys. He's just there to try to give an honest assessment and opinion, and that's what I think we all appreciate.
You know, I think it's time for T-Mac. You know, screw PDB. It's time to hire T-Mac again.
Are you out of your mind? Oh, dear Lord.
I had
no,
but
no. Hey, Coach Q, you up?
Well, hey, just a quick tidbit there. It was a final search in 2008 for the next head coach. It was between Tom McClellan and Joel Quenneville. So,
hold on. Beach Boys fan forever. Why don't you want Patty and Tierney back? Because I'm one of those kind of people that if they were worth keeping, you never would have gotten rid of them in the first place.
I would want Patty back because of the speed, but not at what, $8 million a year?
Yeah, not at that price. Well, yeah. No, it's not $8 million a year.
$6 million. Yeah, $6 million, I think, is his cap hit.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's my thing. I don't have a problem with Patty. I loved Patty. I mean, he was one of the most inconsistent Sharks for the decade he was here. And there's a lot of people that, you know, that dumped on him. But I don't have a problem with Patty, but that's one of the things that every time somebody brings up, like, oh, we never should have lost this guy. We never should have lost it. Or, you know, don't you want to have this guy back? Well, if they were that valuable, you wouldn't have gotten rid of him in the first place. That was, you know, that's one of the things that I used to laugh about when the Sharks got rid of Friesen and Shields to get Solani. I miss Friesen. But I'm like, we're getting Timo freaking Solani. Who cares? You know, Friesen, over the last year and a half that he was with the Sharks, he was, every time he would get a breakaway, he was drilling goalies center mass right in the, like he was targeting the logo on their chest. Used to drive me crazy. But there's that idea of, if you're that good, how many times did we hear, I can't remember who the hell it was, but there was somebody just, the way that I beat the power play drum, there was somebody just banging a drum, we should have Ehrhoff back. We should have, no, there's a reason why his nickname was way off, Eric.
If we wanted somebody with an accurate shooting, they would just have me shoot the puck. And you don't want to do that, right?
That's all I'm saying.
It's all about moving on to the next player. And you got to give time for the younger talent to develop.
See, and there's a couple of people in here. Mirror Man says, hold on, Mirror Man. Dude.
Steve Proper.
Yeah, I was gonna say, dude. you really changed just because of what I said on the Pucknologist. That's great. But yeah, we needed to move on from Marlowe. Can we re-sign Patty like we did Nabby and call it good? Absolutely, and I guarantee you that's going to happen in a year and a half or so. Whenever it is, Marlowe will sign a one-day deal with the Sharks to retire as a Shark. That's fate complete. That's not even worth talking about. Who the hell wants Ehrhoff back?
No.
Nobody does now, but about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, there was a certain person on Twitter that kept on, you know, banging on that drum.
Four pars up for hockey. Tierney was better than Marlowe for us.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, it's someone's saying that Tierney was better than Marlowe for us.
What the hell's that?
Well, I would put it in this perspective from another thing in the chat saying that Tierney.
Four paws. I love it. Tierney was better than Marlowe for us. Four paws, you know I love you. Are you crazy? Marlowe was a Swiss Army knife the last 2 to 3 seasons he was with the Sharks. It was like, you need me to center the second line? Boom, I'm there. Oh, you need me winger on the first line? I'm there. Oh, you need me winger on third line? Okay. Oh, you need me to center the third line? Okay. He was the Swiss Army knife. that's, you're never going to see that from Tierney.
But to go to Tierney, Wontimer says, unless Tierney would displace like Melker, he would just knock out a good player out of the lineup, which I totally agree. Yeah. And Sleepy Mofo, getting back to the Marlowe thing. Nah, I don't want Marlowe back. I don't like being second to someone else.
Or get stuck in the second round.
We'll tell you. You know what? Let's have this talk May 2019. Kevin Lacey,
yep,
jumping in. Have you guys discussed how Burns and Carlson were out against McDavid while Vlasic and Braun were taking offensive zone draws? Yeah, dude, go back and watch like the first like 15 minutes. No, we laid into Burns and Ryan actually, and then got a little bit into Carlson. But yeah, the quote unquote, the big money guys on defense, it's like they're playing e-fence, no D. Just no D. Burns and Carlson, sometimes it's like they're just playing forward.
And going over, Kevin had texted me one more thing earlier in the show in regards to comparison to the first year and to the current year. Of course, they overachieved in 2015-16. We all predicted they'd be out in the second round in 2016. Or, for that matter, some people weren't even predicting the Sharks making the playoffs that year. So,
what year?
2015-16.
Yeah.
The year we went to the cup final.
Wouldn't make the Oh, I don't know who the hell those people are, but they were nuts.
Mr. Rosen at NHL.com, but I digress.
Well, I mean, there's always, always going to be that one guy, you know, that guy who spells Eric E-R-I-C. All right, so I think we've kind of like driven this one into the ground. The Sharks lose 4-3 in overtime tonight. The power play after scoring in three consecutive games goes 0-3 tonight. Penalty kill still killing it, second in the league right now. Mm-hmm. You have to give it up for that. But the Sharks continue to have yet another game where they allow three or more goals, and that's something that, you know, you look at that, that's something that you have to look at the defense and go, what's up? And look at Martin Jones and go, sup. And we look ahead to Vancouver, who, man, you talk about a team that's going, that has to be pissed off. Okay, Vancouver, okay, they got to travel the day after, day after Thanksgiving. We're talking, Vancouver has lost five games in a row, just got destroyed 6-3 by Winnipeg. This is a team that started off pretty hot, had a good October, and has just shit the bed during November. They are, this is the market correcting itself in hockey terms. Right now, still third in the Pacific, and I think that's only because the Pacific sucks. There, I mean, okay, San Jose at 26 points, but 7 points back, seven points separates one through seven. You know what that is? That's a good week in the NHL, but 5 points separating one through five. But Vancouver, Anaheim trending down, Edmonton, Calgary trending up.
So first off, did somebody say Vancouver?
I should have known. Hold on. I got the mute button here. Wait a minute.
Don't worry. That I got it on my system. But you brought it up in our chat earlier. Where was that article from? That the Pacific Division sucks, and it's proof that Vancouver's in a playoff spot.
Hold on. Okay, I know it was from The Athletic, but let me at least give the writer props, as of course every writer deserves. Well, the writer for that on The Athletic was Jason. I'm just looking at the name. I don't know how you pronounce this, but it makes me want to say, it just makes me want to say, Jason, bruh, come on, bruh. I'm sorry. I'm sure it's like broth or something like
it cough. Is broth. In fact, that's actually, I think he, works also at TSN 1040, and he actually,
hey now.
I think he covers the midday shift that our good friend Sakaris and Bryce used to do.
You're wrong. Wrong. Okay, Beach Boys fan forever MLP is hawking me in the chat saying, AJ, please answer. If you could have any former Shark comeback, who would you want? That's a hard question to answer because it's like, is it a case of like emotional attachment? Like, oh man, I'd really like to watch them again. Or is it a case of the player that I think would add the most to the team that we have right now? So if it's just like emotional attachment, it's probably going to be Mike Ricci. I think, you know, that grit, although it is a different game now, you don't get the clutch and grab that Ricci was allowed to get away with back then with Scotty Thornton and Nicholas Sundstrom. But if it's like a player that I think I want Belfour back, dude, dude, Kishmine took us. Okay. No. I want Niemi is who I want. No, I'm kidding. No, if there's a player that I could have back that I think would actually add the most to this team as it stands right now, honestly, I'd go with somebody like a Kyle McLaren or a Douglas Murray. Like, not somebody who's like fleet of foot. Actually, I'd go with Kyle McLaren. Not somebody who's necessarily fleet of foot, but I think about it a little bit more, you know who I would take on this team right now? Brian frickin' Marchment. A guy who was not the fastest guy, but a guy that put the fear of God, that made you think that when you stepped over the boards, you were like looking like, is Marchment out here?
See, the problem with Marchment is he's going to get suspended for 60 games. And then on top of that...
Dude, I said Marchment, not Raffy freaking...
Oh.
Are you sure they're not the same person?
No, they're not the same person.
They do like to play kneesies.
Well, hold on. And see, Kevin Lacey's saying Ricci would have a pretty tough time for his age. Dude, we're talking, you know, with this question, we're talking, you know, like a player in their prime, if you would bring them today. I mean, Jesus Christ, we're going to like put age into it. Oh, yeah, no, I would absolutely put Link Gates in here, a 55-year-old Link Gates. Absolutely, sure, throw his ass on the ice for 2 minutes a game.
I want to see is Jeremy Roenick, so everyone can just get a second to just knock him out.
Oh, that's Mike Hoffman. You know, let's give him a second chance. Let's give Mike Hoffman a second chance, you know.
Train him in.
People are asking if I would want Niemi back on the team, and no, I do not want Niemi on the team again. Had my fun, but I would want to see Chichu in his prime once again. Rocket Richard year is still holds up.
No, Lacey pointing out it was a joke. Okay, I'll give you that, and I will give that to anybody who makes a comment on here, because you know all these. There's no way you can put, you know, you can't put sarcasm in on text. So I totally get it, Lacey.
Skylar Greenberg, yes. Mike Hoffman, and Erik Karlsson on the same team. What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know. Ask Ottawa.
Anywho, we're starting to go off the rails.
So. Ray Whitney, what would he do with this team? That could be interesting. I mean, you know, for his... Alexander Kolaryuk.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Both of those.
Okay. All right. So I think we've put a bow on the 4-3 overtime loss versus Edmonton. We've already discussed what's coming in with Vancouver. I mean, the guys are coming in on a 5-game losing streak. Surprised that coach hasn't been fired already. But then again, we've already seen one coach fired in San Jose this week. We might see another. You never know. So with that, wait a minute. Off AJ's timeline. I don't know what is going on with some of the things in the chat, but I know what is going on with what we are about to talk about. And that is...
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
This is about to be the shortest reach around you've ever heard in your life, people. There was freaking game that was played tonight, and we just spent the last 40 minutes talking about it. There's your reach around. Thank you. Good night.
It's wraparound.
agree to disagree.
Yeah. It's reach around.
No. Oh,
that's right. Okay, you know what? We're gonna put this to the chat. Let's
see. When's the last time you've seen a wrap a reach around on the
ice? Sorry, it's weird that you think that I was speaking to you right then because I wasn't. So I'm gonna put this out to the chat, and I'm just going to say
reach around on the ice.
I'm going to put this out to the chat right now on the count of three with the people that are watching right now, and if I could figure it out,
Felix.
Right now. How many people are watching right now? My screen won't show it.
Last time I saw it was 48.
Okay, so for the 48 of you, putting up with this dog and pony show, I'm going to ask you right now, what's your favorite?
Thanks,
Mom. Reach around or wrap around? Go. You have 1 minute to decide.
In that time, AJ.
What the hell is with the 47s right now?
Viewer. That's the viewership.
Oh, okay, 47. No, because I
and see the love and the love for you, Kim Ryan.
I see 47. No, I start yelling.
I hate
about
all
the
of
quality
you
of the 47 stuff. Okay, so reach around. Super chat votes count as two votes. Good job, Rob. And then wrap. Oh, Lacey, oh, I'm so disappointed in you right now.
Thank you, Kevin.
Felix, I'm disappointed in you now.
Anything around?
Anything
around. Wait a minute. Did Rob and Sleepy vote twice? Anything around. I love that. So I've always known it to be wrap around. And you've always known the muffin to be Studley.
Kevin Lacey.
Oh, you're shit. Right. Darren Turcotte. Are you serious?
You're right.
You're going to pull that number 9 out of the box?
No. His first game in San Jose, he wore 47.
But number 9 overall.
Number
right?
9 for the rest of that year. And then he switched to number 8 because he gave 9 to Bernie Nichols the following year.
Oh, I actually enjoyed Turcotte. He was a center, right?
Yeah, he played center and he played a winger too.
Yeah, I thought it was mostly center. I actually liked Turcotte. Wasn't that also kind of like Kip Miller era?
That was a little after that.
Okay.
Yeah, Kevin Miller was there for a moment and before he got traded to Pittsburgh that year.
Yep.
I remember being a little bit of a Turcotte fan. We got him from Jersey, right?
Turcotte, we got from Winnipeg. He was a part of the deal that sent Craig Janney over to the Jets.
Oh, and any deal that sent Craig Janney out of San Jose was a good freaking deal. I'm trying to think. Who was the cat from Jersey then that I liked?
Chris Terreri?
I think it was. Yeah, if it wasn't Turcotte, yeah, it must have been Terreri.
Hey, we'll break out a freaking Jared Scaldi. I think we also got.
All right, so basically we're going to be doing Sharks After Dark in about 10 minutes. So enjoy that.
John McClane, yes, that's right, Lacey.
Well, didn't he play for the Diehards? No? McClane? No?
Mm-hmm. I was really thinking the same thing.
Really? Come on. Oh, really? My God.
Since it's such a Christmas movie.
Oh, F you. Actually, Bruce Willis did come out of his roast over the summer and finally put it all to bed. He said Die Hard was not a Christmas movie.
Is that what you believe, AJ?
Anything that Bruce Willis tells me, I'm going to believe.
You have some serious issues if that's your logic.
I loves me some Bruce Willis. It's time to get the hell out of here. Again, I can't see how many people are watching, but we thank you for doing so. Again, we do this after every single Sharks game. Sometimes we do some random stuff. Like earlier today, we just did a great interview with Drew Remenda. So go check our SoundCloud out. Go check our YouTube. Go check out Teal Town USA. That interview is among all of those. And we appreciate you tuning in. Do us a favor. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. It'll let you know every time we go live after every single Sharks game. And we do this. It is by fans for the fans. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to Al Martinet to give us your final thoughts on where the people can find you on that social media channel.
Final thoughts.
All right. And Eric. Go. No,
AJ. That's my final thoughts. No, I was on last the game against Toronto. It was basically the same complaints. Sharks have poor job on guarding the transition. There really hasn't been much of a improvement in that area. Really, what I'm hoping is that down the line, the faceoff circle starts to get better over time. Because in the third period, Edmonton just took over the game halfway through it. So that's what I want to see down the line with the Sharks. But until then, you can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet. If you want to talk Twitter, talk hockey, talk whatever, I'm always there.
Did I just see that Coach Q entered the chat?
Yes.
So I'll get you up. No? All right. Puck Guy, your final thoughts on whether people can find you.
I just hope Coach Quenneville is still recovering from the hangover he had from the Bears game the other night. So,
It's a ski shot? Or what?
Yeah, it's a ski shot where they have like shots embedded in them and they took it together. I thought that's freaking awesome. Anyhow, he's enjoying retirement or enjoying unemployment.
Okay, hold on.
What?
I just saw Kevin. I love you, bro. He just put in the chat. I really felt like the Sharks outplayed the Oilers in all three periods, but the Oilers were allowed to stay in the game. I gotta disagree with that, man. I thought if you go and look at the possession, especially in the first 30 minutes of the game tonight, while the Sharks owned the circle, go back and look. Edmonton clearly held possession for most of the first 30 minutes of this game.
See, I thought the Sharks dominated early on until McDavid tied the game up, and then it was back and forth. And then in the third period, Edmonton started to take over.
For me, I thought the game kind of switched when Thomas Hurdle didn't get that goal in the very end, the second period. I thought that would have been a really good momentum boost heading into the third period. Of course, Logan Couture had the amazing shot, had the amazing deke, but I just felt like there was a momentum shift right there in the second period.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, even though Logan gets that goal off with like the final minute, it didn't feel like it was enough. And again, I go back to the idea of if the Sharks get a power play, or if Brent Burns plays a more solid game tonight, if he doesn't screw up one of those first two goals, the Sharks probably come out of tonight with 2 points while Edmonton leaves with nothing. So
let me just ask you one question. If you had a pick between Dell and Jones to make the save of the game that keeps the game for you, who would you pick? Because right now I think it's a toss-up.
No, right now I just go with Dell because he seems more comfortable, and I'm a guy who plays the numbers. When I go to Vegas and whatnot, I'm playing the odds. And right now, you know, Jones has like, I don't know, like an 894 save percentage, and Deller has a 920. So I play the numbers. I go with Dell.
Even though Dell hasn't had the best competition, or he's been playing against weaker competition.
I don't know. Well, I'm trying to think. The last two games he's played were versus St. Louis. He got, you know, shellacked and lost 4-0, and then he turned around and he shut them out 4-0. Despite, you know, the defense in front of him not playing that great, but, I mean, same defense in front of Jones. I don't know. I just feel like the team right now has been a little more comfortable when Dell is behind them. But that can easily change, and we've seen that happen. We saw that happen before with like Nabokov and Toskala. You know, for a stretch, the team was more comfortable or seemed to play better when Toskala was in that. Hell, we saw a stretch. Let's be honest, we saw a stretch 5-6 years ago. Whenever it was, there was like a 20 game stretch where Niemi couldn't stop a beach ball, but when Stalock was in there, everybody felt more comfortable. And every team goes through this. I mean, look at Edmonton tonight. You know, they started off with Talbot. First 5-6 games, he was great. And then it just dropped out off a clip. Koskinen comes in, and Koskinen, that's who they've leaned on for the last 12 games. And he's had his ups and downs, but it already goes to show you, you know, the You know, number one. And I'm not looking at the chat purposely because I know Gen X is probably putting some shit about like backup of a backup of a back. Yeah, stop it.
No, Kevin was joking about having
call up Bebo. Oh, what? Why? Because Cornosh is going to be busy like staving off everybody in the AHL. I would call up Cornosh at this point. I'm just telling you. And somebody tell me, somebody explain to me how AR is pronounced Osh in whatever country that is.
Just don't ask. Just don't ask.
All right. Okay. So let's fit. We should have been done 10 minutes ago. Eric, where the people can find you on social media and your final thoughts. And stop letting Kevin Lacey drive us off the rails.
No, he's having fun. In fact, we need to kidnap Kevin back on here again soon.
I know, but Kevin, you're doing this on purpose because you haven't done Teal Tinted in a while. I know it.
He's dying to talk Sharks hockey.
He is. And he's over total, there. He's
like, and he's totally wanting to get back on. So,
right here.
Kevin, if you're watching, come on back. Anywho, grateful and thankful to all of you who subscribe to us, who follow us on Twitter, and each and every fan. Thank you so much. Thankful for this crew and what we've been doing throughout the last 4+ years. So thank you for very much. Other than that, on the Instagram and the Twitter, PuckGuy14, definitely check us out here. We appreciate everything that you do for us in the 45 watching. So thank you very much for watching. Back to you, Mr. Strong.
I am AJ _Strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram. I'm walking towards there. There we go. Also doing some Teal Town Grammy stuff. So go check that out. At some point I need to win a Grammy for all the Teal Town USA Grammy stuff I put on the Instagram. So with that, do us a favor. Check out our SoundCloud. Check out our YouTube because we did a really, really fun interview with Drew Remenda last night. Unfortunately, it happened about 12 hours before Todd McClellan got fired because it could have been a little more interesting. The last time we spoke to Drew, it was about 12 hours after the Sharks got Erik Karlsson. So somehow karma of something just got in the way. But either way, the interview we did with Drew Remenda was fantastic. We talked about the whole Ray Ratto just win the game segment and what was going on behind the scenes when that happened. Talked about his thoughts about transitioning from doing color exclusively to doing intermission stuff like Brody does now. His thoughts on the Oilers. And at that point, if McClellan was on the hot seat, and goes to show, it was probably a little hotter than we thought. But talking about Logan Couture, great story about Jumbo Pavelski. And a quick quiz, which was really funny. So go check out that interview with Dell. My favorite question, of course, being who was the tougher son of a bitch, Ryan Clough or Owen Nolan? And listen to Drew's response because it was fantastic. So with that, we wish you a very awesome evening and an incredibly happy Thanksgiving. We will see you Friday evening. I don't want to talk about the team we're going to face, man.
All I'm going to say is AJ's not going to be on. Guess who's going to be hosting it?
Yeah, he's not wrong about that, people. So we will see you Friday. What the hell time does the game start anyway?
Game's at 6 p.m.
Yep.
Okay, I've seen 5. I've seen 6.
Yep, game's at 6 p.m.
Well, we'll see. Just you might want to, like, tune in an hour early just in case. Final thoughts on the chat. Switch Dell and Jones, make Jones the backup and Dell the starter. Not just yet, but we may be getting to that point if the defense in front of the goaltenders don't change. The team defense to me is the biggest problem. So with that, we wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. Eric, get us the hell out of here.
A happy Thanksgiving to all and to our Canadians. Happy Thursday.
Yeah, and what he said.
And until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Have a great holiday, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.